That's what prayer is all about anyways. Prayer is not to get the God to... prayer is not about getting God to do anything. It's about lining you up with what God is doing. How are you going to know what somebody's doing unless you ask them?
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The topic of this episode is How God Helps, and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Today we're going to be talking about how God helps, because sometimes we become so busy in what we're doing that we actually try to start helping ourselves. And now a lot of people like to quote this to me, God only helps those who help themselves. Did you know that the Bible doesn't teach that? The Bible does not teach that concept. Now, I'm not saying that we should be lazy. That's not where I'm going with this. But what I am saying is that God helps those who call upon him. But did you know that many Christians fail to do that? They fail to call on God because of pride. And it may not even be the kind of pride that you might be picturing in your mind right now. Sometimes we have pride in our heart thinking, I can handle this, or I know someone else who can. If it's not God, it's not going to get handled in a godly way. That doesn't mean that you can't get yourself out of some things. It doesn't mean that you can't achieve some things. It just means that if you're doing it without God, you're doing it the hard way. And sometimes God will ask you to do something when you call upon him that doesn't make any sense. He'll tell you to take a left turn when you believe in your heart you should be going right. And so you'll start to argue with the scriptures. Well, God, I could do it a lot quicker if I just go this direction. But God is here to tell you the right direction, and that's through his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're going to go over how God helps us today. And our key verse is going to be in Psalms 46, verse 1. And I'm reading now the New International Version. Could we all please stand one last time for the reading of God's holy word? Psalms 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Holy Father, we come to you today. We pray, God, that you will open our hearts to receive your word. And we thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. God is our refuge. God is our absolute security and safety from ills of any kind. Something goes on in your life that's trouble, hurtful, painful, take it to God. Take it to God. Because I'm not promising you that your problem is going to disappear immediately upon prayer. And I'm not saying that that can't happen either. But what I'm saying is that God is our refuge. We should run to him first before we run to the telephone or run to the internet and Facebook it. Man, I tell you what. Some of you are all real good preachers on Facebook. I see what you guys post about God on there. But Facebook ain't the only church in town, amen? We have to show up here too, right? Amen. God is our refuge. Listen, man, there are some things that people can't help you with. And even if they could, they won't. Some of you know what I'm talking about. People can let you down. People will desert you in your zero hour. The disciples fell asleep on Jesus the night he was arrested. Can't you stay and pray with me one more hour? Can't you just stay awake? And they were counting sheep and snoozing. And they were with him for 3 years. And they followed him. And they saw his miracles. And he couldn't even count on them. And what did he do? He prayed to God. He prayed. He went to the one source that wouldn't let him down. Pastors can let you down. Church friends can let you down. Family can let you down. But God will always allow you to run to him. He will always allow you to run to him. And he's got the right answer. Maybe you don't have the answer that you want or think you need, but he's got the right answer. In his ultimate wisdom, he knows. God is our strength. His strength is the confidence and the source of power for his people. And listen to me, I'm telling you this from experience. There are things that can bring a person down to their knees. There are things that we do to ourselves and that other people do to us. And sometimes, like I said, we don't need the other people's help. We can do it all to ourselves. We can get ourselves into something and we feel like we don't have not one bit of strength to carry on. That we just can't do it another minute. And then we call upon God and we pray, Lord, I don't like where I'm at. In fact, I hate it. Let your complaint pour out to him. Tell him how you feel. He knows already anyways. I can't do it. Be honest with him. I don't want to do it anymore. I've had to pray like that. Not only can I not do it, I don't want to do it anymore. You pour out your heart to God and he will give you supernatural strength. Your spirit will be uplifted and he will give you the strength to put your flesh in the check. You see what I'm saying? Because see, the devil's working on us. Look around in the pews right now and see how many people are missing from sickness and for lack of desire of being here. And you will understand that the devil is working. He wants to keep people out of church. Why is that? Why is that? Because he doesn't want to see growth. He knows that when people show up to church, they are strengthened by God. He doesn't want you to be strengthened. The devil wants you to be weak so he can manipulate you. Who wants to be manipulated by the devil? Raise your hand. Then stop letting him do it. Amen. Hear me out what I'm saying here, because I'm pastor and I see things. I see how the devil can get in and manipulate people and cause division in a church. And once he separates you from your church family, that's when he lays it on you. See, what happens is he gets you out of church for a while and cuts you off from your strength. And then after you've gone without eating your spiritual food, you get a little weaker. See, he tempted Jesus in the garden 40 days after he started his fast. He didn't start it at the beginning. He didn't walk up to Jesus the first day of his fasting and try to tempt him into turning the rocks into bread. No, he waited 40 days when Jesus was hungry. And then he came to Jesus and tempted him when he was weak in body, when the temptation would work. So listen to me. You cut yourself off from the strength of God, the devil won't come right away with his temptation. He'll wait. He'll wait. Say you've been out of church for a while, been away from your spiritual friends for a while. Then he'll turn on you. He'll tempt you. He'll come after you. He'll come after you with sickness. He'll come after you with financial stress. He'll come at you any way that he sees a weakening in your walk with God. And your first week is your last, because he knows that once he's got you departed from the people that are praying for you and standing with you, God is no longer your strength. You're relying on yourself and you're relying on the people that you thought were there for you. And they've all deserted you. They've all walked away, but God hasn't. God hasn't walked away. God hasn't walked away. He is still our strength and we have to call upon that strength. Present help. Third, he's our present help. Listen to this, folks, because I want God to talk to people today because he's been talking to me. I want your hearts to be opened and see what God's doing because he loves you. And I want you to know that he loves you and he cares about you. And the only way that you can see this is if you accept it. Accept it in your hearts. Present help. This speaks of God's reliability in difficult circumstances and his personal care for us. You're down, you're blue, you don't know what to do. See, I could do a wrap up here, couldn't I? And then God comes and he puts his arms around you. And you feel the peace that surpasses all understanding. But more than that, sometimes a phone will ring and a loving friend will call and they'll check in on you. Maybe you don't know what to do and you say, God, help me. And a friend invites you to church. And there you are. You haven't been in church in years and suddenly you're in church. And God brought you to where you belong. See, we're called God's sheep because we don't have any direction of our own. I'm a sheep. You're a sheep. And all that means is that God gathers his flocks, and Jesus is our shepherd. And we need a home to reside in, right? The sheep have to come home, right? This is our church home, and I want you guys to love it because you love the people in it. I want you guys to see the passion that I have for you. I want you guys to see the love that I have for you. I want you to see the love that God has for you through me. The only way you can see that is if I surrender and I let God work through me. And you guys have got to do the same, amen? Not that you all aren't doing that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not rebuking anybody. I want you to see with your hearts today. I want you to see the depth of God's love. Okay, so God helps through prevailing prayer. How many of you guys know that you have not because you ask not? Psalms 91, verse 15. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Now, notice how God's putting I in reference to himself. This means that God is going to do all the work. So why, when we get into trouble, do we call on everybody else? I see more prayers on Facebook than I see people in church kneeling at the prayer bench. Amen. You all can pray on Facebook. I've seen it. You guys get me on my knees sometimes. I read that stuff. That's some good stuff. We need that out. We need that here in the church. We need that attitude with other people. We need to get personal with people and not behind a screen, but seriously. Because listen, God is personal with us. He will call upon me. What's the first step in getting your prayers answered? Praying. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. All too often, Christians neglect to pray. They forget that God desires for us to call upon him. Something happens, and the last thing you do is pray. Somebody once told me, I pray when nothing else works. Why? You could have saved yourself a whole lot of trouble and prayed first. We are effective when we fellowship with God. He speaks to us and answers our prayers. Fellowship. Fellowship. Don't talk to God any different than you would talk to somebody you loved in person. And what I mean by that is some people, they do a ritual when they talk to God. Our Father who art in heaven. You know, that's a formula for praying. That's not to be recited verbatim. We're supposed to come to God as if he's our Father because he is our spiritual Father. And we're supposed to recognize that he is in heaven and that we're here on earth. That means that he's on the throne and we're not. Hallowed be thy name. We're supposed to approach him in a holy manner. You get what I'm saying about the prayer? It's not supposed to be all formal like a school teacher's presentation or something. We're supposed to come to God and pour our hearts out to him. Sometimes when I call people up and I tell them about a situation I'm in, and I'm talking about like I try to fix something, I'll hear myself talk, and the answer will come to me, and I'll say, oh, wait a minute, I just figured it out. Now, I'm not saying that's how prayer works, but I'm saying that when you recite your concerns to God, you are playing back, and you're getting into a conversation with him, and he can open your heart, and then you can start to listen a little bit more than you're talking, amen? Follow what I'm saying? But now listen, sometimes when God answers, he answers yes, or he might say no. He might say wait, Oh, boy, that's a hard one, isn't it? When God tells you to wait and you're just like dancing in your seat. Sometimes he gives us directions. Sometimes he gives us a rebuke. Let me stop right there. Sometimes God will give you a rebuke. You'll be praying to God about something, looking for one answer, and he will rebuke you. A rebuke is when he tells you that you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing. Sometimes he'll give you peace. You'll be praying, and peace of what you're praying about comes over you. And you just know everything's going to be okay. And your friends are all saying different. No, no, you don't understand that the circumstances are horrible. You got to do something to save yourself. And you just have all this peace about you. And everyone else is screaming, doom, doom. But you got this peace from God that surpasses all understanding. Other times, you're still in the storm. You're still going through things and you're praying, but God gives you comfort. He gives you comfort. He takes the burden off your shoulders. And he helps you through what you're going through, right? Doesn't always take the storm away. Sometimes he leaves you in the storm, but he gets you through it. Or sometimes he encourages you. Sometimes he says, yeah, I know you're in a tough spot. Now get up and go. Go through this storm. You have the victory because I am with you. Why are you fearing? Amen. Somebody hearing me right now? Sometimes he encourages you. Sometimes he's silent. Whew, I left that one for last. Sometimes you pray and you don't hear God. He's silent. And you're like, oh, Lord, where are you? King David wrote a lot about that. Where are you? I don't feel you. I don't hear you. I don't see you. Silence. I think that's the most difficult one of all. Until I learned that when God is silent, that's when I get to thinking about myself. And he starts revealing things about myself in his silence. And then I realize why he's not talking to me, because really, in his silence, he's saying volumes. He's saying volumes, because sometimes we come to God in prayer and we already know what he desires of us and we're not doing it. And in his silence, it's almost as if he's turned his back on you. And then you're left with yourself to examine yourself. And I don't always like to see what I am looking at when I'm examining myself. I'm speaking for myself. I'm just talking about myself. Amen? Christians should continue in a spirit of prayer at all times. What do I mean by that? What does the Bible mean by that? Listen. Everything that you do, everything that comes out of your mouth, you should be having a spirit of prayer in your soul that it lines up with the Word of God. That doesn't mean you can be perfect, but you know what? When you are in the spirit of prayer, you are desiring to do it God's way. You have a desire for what God wants. You are seeking His will. That's what prayer is all about anyways. Prayer is not to get to God to... Prayer is not about getting God to do anything. It's about lining you up with what God is doing. Now, how are you going to know what somebody's doing unless you ask them? I call people up and I says, what are you doing? And they tell me. And then I know whether or not I can get lined up with them or not. But see, with God, we don't do that. We call up God and say, look what I'm doing and look where I'm at. Come here and line up with me. And God says, no. Because your way is the wrong way. I know we got some smart people in here, and they don't always think that they're going the wrong way. And I'm probably the biggest one. But I realize that God is always going the correct direction. I'm the one that had to be found. People say, I found Jesus. No, you didn't. He found you. He found you. Jesus was never lost. God helps through precious promises. 2 Peter verse, chapter 1, verse 4. He has given us his very great and precious promises. My prayer is that the people of God would open the Bible more often and look at the promises that are in there. Because God has some magnificent promises of protection, guidance. I mean, the list goes on and on. For those who are seeking after him to do his will in their life. I can promise you something right now. If your heart lines up with God and you seek after the things that he wants in your life, you can claim these promises. But if you want to go your own way and do it your way apart from the will of God for your life, well, it's going to be a lot harder to claim those promises because God is not going to enable anyone to go the wrong way. So if you're struggling right now, you might want to check yourself with the Lord and say, am I still following you? Am I in the right direction? Many Christians neglect the promises of God through busyness with other concerns, unbelief. They forfeit the benefits of God's word. What I mean by this is that we become neglectful when we don't read our word. God has given us an instruction manual for our lives. And we let other things in life come over and stop us from reading. Well, my favorite TV show's on tonight. Or I got to go clean my car. Or I've got homework to do. Things like that. And God is saying, put me first, because otherwise you're going to be running around all busy like and say, well, you know what? I'll do it before I go to bed. Then the devil says, why don't you just get some rest and do it in the morning? And then you're like, yeah, I'll just take a nap. You know, I'll do it in the morning. You get up in the morning and 500 million other things are going to come. And I learned something about the devil. He knows what makes you tick. He watches and studies you. And if he knows that a certain trick will get you from reading the Bible, he will play that trick on you every time to stop you. So we neglect God's word, we neglect the promises because we become too busy or too concerned with other matters, knowing, we know it in our head, that these promises are real and that God can get us through some stuff. But see, if you don't believe it, you won't do it. That's where the unbelief part comes in. If you don't believe that God's promises are real, you're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. God's precious promises assure Christians of his protection and his provision. Psalms 121:7, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. Now, I know that there's people that would say to this, I see Christians hurt all the time. And I can't explain how bad things happen to good people. But I do know this. Now, hear me on this. Because this is really important, because I had to learn this concept. If God lays something on your heart to do, if he's told you and led you to do it, if the Holy Spirit is guiding you to do something, this promise will guard you. The Lord will keep you from all harm, and he will watch over your life if you're in sync with what he's leading you to do. I just find out that, you know, a lot of people tell me, and I'm not making this up. I had somebody call me up saying that God forsake them because they committed a horrible crime and they were going to prison for it. And they were blaming God because they were Christians and they were citing Psalm 121:7 saying that God was a liar, but they committed the crime and they were going to prison for it. Now, do you think God is going to honor this promise when somebody has committed a criminal act and has harmed another human being? That's not claiming the promises of God. We must read them, review them, reflect, and rely on them. And most of all, we must believe them. Got to read this stuff, reflect back on them, go back through them and read them again. You got to believe it. You got to believe it. Unbelief will keep you from so many good things in God. So many good things. You have no idea. I know for myself because I haven't always had the level of faith that I have today. And if you would ask me what my level of faith is, I would be very careful on how I would answer that. Because God is always building our faith. Amen? He is always building our faith. Through our trials, our tribulations, our testing. Somebody in here right now, I know for a fact, is going through some heavy testing. He helps through personal peace. John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Today's world is overrun with illicit sex, drug abuse, and terrorism. Millions search for peace unsuccessfully. Hear me out. You're not going to find peace in the latest video game, the latest hit song on the radio. You're not going to find peace complaining to your friends about your life and what everybody done to you in your past. We've all been hurt by people. And I feel for everybody who's been hurt by people. But we have a new life in Christ. And we have to take peace from that relationship that he gives us. And that peace will surpass all understanding. Real and lasting peace is found only in Jesus Christ. He offers peace to those who obey and trust him. Oh, see, I added that last part. Now some of you flinched. I saw you. That obey. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When we have Jesus, we get this peace in our heart that says, you know what? The world is a bad place. And I contributed to it being a bad place. I had my part in it. And at times, I still have my part. I'm not perfect. I am still capable, even though I'm a pastor, of hurting somebody's feelings, of making a mistake. But I know that when Jesus comes back, he is going to make all right. He is going to wipe away every tear. And there's going to be no more dying. There's going to be no more diseases. It's going to be a kingdom set up with the people that chose to be with him. See, I don't want to be dragged into anything. People don't want to come to church. I don't hunt them down at their house and drag them into here. It has to be your choice to be here. So anybody who's going to hell is going there by their own choice because God has laid down a choice. You can fellowship with him eternally and with peace through Jesus Christ, or you can depart from him.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.